This is the Slashdot Review weekend summary for Sunday, November 14th. My name's Andy McCaskey, and this is a 10-minute summary of highlights of contributions this past weekend to Slashdot. And today's GarageBand.com artist is Jenna Dre from Miami, Florida. On to the headlines, lots to talk about tonight. And the lead item from Slashdot is from the Impress the Ladies department. Tom's Hardware has posted a guide to building your own XGA LCD projector from parts costing under $300. Major components are an overhead projector and a used 15-inch LCD screen. They even have a whole movie of the project on the site. It's bigger and noisier than a standard projector, but most of our living rooms look like electronic junkyards anyway, so you got nothing to lose. With Internet Explorer, Firefox, and Safari all basically free, is there room for a non-free browser in the marketplace? An anonymous reader writes in to Slashdot that Opera is facing losses while Firefox usage grows. Sometimes Opera is the forgotten number three web browser, and they reported a third quarter loss that tripled that of last year's third quarter despite a sevenfold increase in revenue. Opera is blaming a weaker dollar for the losses and say they're spending money on marketing and new ventures like teaming with IBM to use their ViaVoice technology. Opera's future seems uncertain as Firefox's growing popularity may hurt Opera by stealing potential customers. A dark side to the open source world, exploitation of open source voice over IP. NATWJ writes that with John Mad Dog Hall pointing out that open source voice over IP will be bigger than Linux has ever been, how can we make sure that unethical companies will not try to steal code that's covered under the GPL and try and pass it off as their own? Recently, the writer's become aware that Sysmaster has been redistributing a version of the Asterisk PBX written by Mark Spencer from Digium and many other people. Sysmaster claims that they wrote everything in-house, and while they've surely done their own development, they are using Asterisk to power their product line without following the rules. The writer honestly reports that he has an axe to grind, and he says in terms of full disclosure, his company also provides Asterisk-based solutions, but they fully embraced Asterisk and gladly contribute back to the GPL. So you can see that the battle lines are drawn in voice over IP. Something or someone is watching Pop-Tarts. G8OZ writes that New York Times covers Walmart's obsession with collecting sales data. As an example of a fun fact, Walmart has 460 terabytes of data stored on Teradata mainframes at its Bensonville headquarters. To put that into perspective, the Internet has less than half as much data, according to experts. That much information results in interesting data mining. For example, hurricanes increase strawberry Pop-Tart sales by about sevenfold. Is an interesting battle shaping up that's documented with links on Slashdot between webmail providers. Much of the excitement around Gmail is centered around its innovative interface, but a pretty interface is hardly Gmail's biggest contribution. Their real contribution to webmail is its innovative business model. The new business model is what's allowing Gmail to offer a gigabyte of storage quota and still have an expectation of making money. Of course, Microsoft and Yahoo have noticed this as well, and one can reasonably expect them to move their webmail services to the new model. An interesting battle is shaping up between the three big webmail providers, and the article on Slashdot called Webmail Wars analyzes some possible scenarios and outcomes. Looks like the finger pointing has begun. Half-Life 2 is available, but Valve says it's not their fault if there are delays. Evil Avatar has the word that even Best Buy's selling Half-Life 2 boxes at this point. If you're planning on picking one up, it should be available pretty much anywhere. Voodoo Extreme has news from Steam that the delays in opening the game to customers is absolutely not their fault, in no uncertain terms. This is not Valve's choice. Vivendi is insisting the game has not yet been released and has threatened that Valve would be in violation of its contract if we activate the Half-Life 2 Steam authentication servers at this time. Creative Commons can apply to materials other than music or images. Did you know that Creative Commons licensing can be applied to browser plugins, lesson plans, or processes for urban design? The Wired Magazine CD garnered publicity last month for Creative Commons. January will bring major advances, making it easier to share scientific knowledge and data online, free of charge and free of most licensing restrictions. Check out the links to Creative Commons on slash.review.com. Well, the ailing Hubble spacecraft refuses to die. Jay Doy writes to Slashdot that there's a story in the Washington Post which reads in part, largely because of the Canadian robot named Dexter, NASA has gone in less than a year from virtually writing off the Hubble to embracing a mission that will cost between $1 and $1.6 billion and approach the complexity of the hardest jobs that the agency has ever undertaken. Slashdot mentioned Dexter back in August of this year and features links back to that original article. What's the fourth largest population of programmers? The Ukraine. Andrew Yulov points out a Business Week article on the budding technology sector of Ukraine. Ukraine has, after the U.S., India, and Russia, the fourth largest number of computer programmers in the world. Even today, scientific institutes each year turn out about 50,000 science or technology graduates. Not surprisingly, Ukrainians don't see why their country can't become a big player in the global technology market, just like India.
The iPodder development team is happy to announce the availability of version 1.1 of iPodder for Windows and Macintosh. Grab it now from iPodder.sourceforge.net.
And I'd redirect your attention to the tip jar on the iPodder site, where you can support the efforts of these developers. It's a game of cat and mouse that never ends. Microsoft is back in the game with an upcoming desktop search tool. Back in July, Microsoft purchased a company called Lookout, who made a tool that allowed users of Outlook 2000 or greater to search through their email at greater speed and accuracy to the standard Outlook search tool. Since Microsoft acquired Lookout, the MSN team's been steadily working on desktop search and web search technologies. But as you know, Google announced their own desktop search technology recently, and that tool is fast but limited in capabilities. The MSN Toolbar Suite integrates directly throughout the OS and varies according to where you're searching from. For example, if you're searching from within Windows Explorer, you'll search your own PC. In IE, you'll search the web, and in Outlook, the toolbar searches within Outlook. The bottom line, like the new online search, Microsoft have made a very good effort to get back in the game. And today's shout-out and thanks to Podcast Alley, specifically Chris McIntyre. Chris, thank you very much for the kind words, for the link, and placing me in some pretty distinguished company. Chris is taking a Creative Commons approach to a commenting and rating system for podcasts, and he's got almost 400 in his database right now, so highly, highly recommended. PodcastAlley.com. Prosto Alex is a prolific contributor to Slashdot. Prosto Alex writes to Slashdot that TV ratings publisher Nielsen is one company that got affected by the digital video recorder boom. With over 7 million households recording TV shows and then watching them on their own time schedules and convenience, the concept of prime time changes and the audience reporting is becoming skewed. So now Nielsen's launching a special program for DVR households, which would allow advertisers and TV executives to track the popularity of TV programs. Nielsen plans to distribute paper diaries amongst the households that use the digital video recorder. I'm a bit confused. I thought that TiVo did this automatically. Venture capitalists are thinking open source once again. Presto Alex writes that the Seattle PI has noticed a rise in venture capital investments into open source companies. JBoss, Source Labs, Sugar CRM, and OSDL all attracted venture capital investments this year, with Source Labs receiving investments from former senior VP of Microsoft. You could say it's as disruptive as mainframes going to PCs or landlines going to cell phones. Software, as it has been sold for years, is about to be turned on its head completely, says Lucinda Stewart from OVP Venture Partners. As startling as it might seem, security vulnerabilities have been discovered in WinXP, Service Pack 2. Sutoda writes that a few months after Service Pack 2 hit WindowsUpdate.com, FinJan Software reports that security flaws have been found in the service pack, including malicious code execution without user intervention. FinJan has turned over the findings, along with proof of concept, to Microsoft. That's it for the weekend summary. Thanks for listening to Slashdot Review for Sunday, November 14th. My name's Andy McCaskey. I have no affiliation with Slashdot other than as a regular reader, and offer this material and other items of interest under the Creative Commons Attribution Share Alike license. Slashdot Review Audio is published Monday through Friday and occasionally on Sunday. Today's GarageBand.com artist, Jenna Dre from Miami, Florida. You can find more music from this artist at GarageBand.com by following the links on Slashdot Review.
All the same excuses that you already